Hi.
How are you?
Not too bad, and yourself?
With all due respect, let's get the small talk.
So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that.
Welcome to Let's Skip the Small Talk, a podcast show where we talk about it all, one topic at a time. I'm your host, Tyconis Allison. With that being said, ready, set, stimulate.
Let's get small talk.
Thank you for tuning into episode 147 of Let's Skip the Small Talk. Today is going to be an epic episode. Today, we'll be addressing the crab in the room. I'll be joined by special guests, my good brother Malcolm, and we'll be breaking down, from A to Z, breaking down the crabs in a barrel mentality and how it plagues our community and how we can overcome it. Yes, we are. You know, in the intro of the episode, you heard Jay-Z speaking, and Jay-Z spoke on this exact same matter, crabs in a barrel mentality. So before Malcolm and I dive in, I want to let Jay-Z finish saying what he has to say. Hear him out.
So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gon' act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel if we stand on each other's back. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they can pull everybody out. I was doing just that.
I want to play that one more time for you. I want you to listen. Listen to what he is saying. Wow. Very profound.
So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gon' act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel if we stand on each other's back. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they can pull everybody out. I was doing just that.
I don't know about y'all, but Jay-Z got me fired up for this conversation. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome in my good brother Malcolm.
What's up, man? Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Hey, the other night, I was on my way to work and I had this idea and I said, I need to run it by Malcolm right now. And I sent you this voice memo and it was inspired by the Kevin Hart interview that I watched on The Breakfast Club. Great interview, by the way. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. Have you seen it yet, Malcolm?
I did. Yep.
Wow. You can see the evolution. You can see the progression.
For sure.
Wow. Beautiful. However, there was something that Kevin said inside the interview that set me on fire. And that's why we're here today. Today, Malcolm and I will be discussing the crab in a barrel mentality and how that stigma is usually in reference to our community. So Malcolm and I will be giving our takeaways on how we feel about that. Just to paint the picture nice and clear here for everyone, I just want to state exactly what we mean when we say crabs in a barrel mentality.
Yep.
So crabs in a barrel, a syndrome where a group of like situated people hurt those in their community attempting to get ahead. Often, this is applied to people in an impoverished community where one person is starting to get ahead and the collective community becomes jealous or filled with a sense of self-loathing. So they find ways to pull that person back down to the community's level. Now, where this all derived from, guys, is when you are harvesting crab, the crab as a group will pull down any crab that starts to climb out of the barrel and attempt to be the first out of the barrel. So that's where it all comes from, guys. Crabs in a barrel is figurative. It's literal. You know, It's a real thing. And that's what we're here to discuss today.
Can I ask you, in your definition of crabs in a barrel, is it a collective thing or is it an individual?
Man, I think it's both.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
I think it's absolutely both.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Now, I just wanted to, you know, just clarify that just because everything I was looking at, it was so more so speaking towards individual. But I guess it wouldn't matter anyways, right?
Right, right. No, I get it. I mean, it takes a group of individuals to make that community.
Mm-hmm.
So if a few people are feeling like that or thinking like that, but yeah, it starts with one. I mean, everything, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you're right.
Everything starts with one. But my brother, how do you feel? I want to be very, very specific here because we can go all over the place with this. First of all, how do you feel about that saying and how it is used oftentimes in reference to our community about us?
Yeah. Well, I've never heard the phrase without it not being referenced to African-Americans or Black people. I've never heard in the workplace, I've never heard any of, you know, Caucasian people or anybody of any other race ever use that term or phrase. I don't even know if they are familiar with that phrase. Because the only time I've ever heard that phrase being said is from other Black people. And it's just one of those things where, like, sometimes you hear it and you, like, you understand it, right? You understand what the person is trying to say. And me and Rashida were talking, and she believes that, you know, a lot of us in our community do have that mindset. But she feels like this was something that was injected into our community. It's not something that we authentically started to believe or think. It's the trauma that we were put through and all these other things that we were put through is the reason why we might act that way. And I understood some of the points that she was trying to make, you know, because it's kind of true, right? In a sense, right? But I don't know if it's our community that has that mindset or it's just the let's inject this crab in the barrel system, right? We're going to only allow one token Black person to be the manager. We're only going to allow, let's give this one Black person a chance to play football at this college or university. You know what I mean? And whether we knew it or not, that can build jealousy, envy, and all those things too as well. So I try to look at it from both perspective, right? But on the other hand, I was like, I find that to be untrue at the same time. I don't feel like as a collective, we keep each other down, right? You hear stories all the time, like rappers or ball players would tell you, man, I'm from the hood. And, you know, I was running the streets and the OGs told me that I can't be on the street. Because they knew, they saw the vision where I was, where they saw the talent that this basketball player had or a musician or athlete or whatever the case may be. And they was like, nah, you got to get up out of here. Go home, read your book. You know what I mean? There's so many other stories like that where we're telling each other like, nah, you got to do better. You know what I mean? Like we're trying to protect each other. We're trying to elevate each other. We're trying to give each other game to, you know, advance in life, you know? So I think it's something that we do have to, like, you know, take a deep look in within ourselves. But I also feel like, man, sometimes we got to give ourselves some credit for how, you know, how we have helped each other out.
Absolutely. I agree. I absolutely agree. And that's why it infuriates me when we use that phrase, like you said, against ourselves. Because one, it's a negative phrase.
It is.
Right? It's a negative phrase in being negative is not going to fix anything.
So you're okay. You're okay with the phrase, but you want a solution behind the phrase.
If the phrase is going to be used, if you're going to say something negative, please follow up with something positive.
Like a 5-year-old football coach, right?
Yes. And that's why I was upset with Kevin Hart in the interview is because I, like you said, I understand where he's coming from. And that's what we're about to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
We are still dealing with the psychological effect of slavery.
Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that.
Nobody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about it.
That gets swept underneath the rug. It's always, oh, forget about slavery. Why is that the only piece of history? Yeah. Why is that the only piece of history that people want to forget about? Do you tell a Jewish person forget about the Holocaust?
No, you wouldn't dare. You know better.
But bro, we have to start asking the question now. Why is it us? Why is it us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's no, but that's part of it. It's a reason why they're glossing over it. It's a reason why they're changing the history books in school. Right? I know you heard about that, Malcolm. Don't want to teach
about slavery anymore.
They do not. In Tennessee, they're taking it out. The state of Tennessee is taking that out.
But they're going to leave the Confederacy in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about winners. Talk about the winners writing history.
Mm.
Crazy. But my brother, that's what I really, really wanted us to expound on today, because granted, it starts with the phrase, right? Crabs in a barrel.
Right.
But in actuality, what we're really, really here to discuss today is the effects of mental slavery, mm-hmm. right? We have endured something that no one else has. So no one else will ever understand how we feel. No one else would completely understand what we've been through. A lot of times people just know from afar through movies, through music, or through their history books, but they didn't live it like we did. And, and granted, hey, they can say, hey, but you guys were born in 1990. You didn't deal with it either. There are plenty of things passed down.
We're dealing with the symptoms right now.
Exactly. Plenty of things that have been passed down that are still affecting us today. And if you want to dive right in.
Colorism.
That's exactly what I was about to say. My brother, for the longest, we've been told that our skin is ugly. For mm-hmm. the longest, we've been told that having dark skin
mm-hmm.
is a horrible thing. So much so, we want it to be lighter because we've always believed that white is mm-hmm. right.
There you right? go.
We yep. always believe that white mm-hmm. was right. So we bleach our skin. And what else did we do, Malcolm? We straighten our hair with perms,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. So we want to be lighter. We want straight hair. We want to look like our oppressor.
Mm.
Malcolm, let's not even talk about the photos of Jesus in our homes. Oof. And I say "our" because we're all in this together. We're not here to point fingers. This is to bring a sense of awareness to ourselves and see where we can go from here. But Malcolm, tell me this number. Mm-hmm. Tell me how the person who whipped us, the person who degraded us, the person that treated us like cattle, looks like the same person that we pray to as our Lord and Savior to stop us mm-hmm. from being in the situation that we're in each and every day. Imagine the toll that takes on someone.
Brody, maybe three months ago, you know, we do family dinner every Sunday. And I was telling people that the original images of angels and saints are black. This is in the Catholic Church archives right now. The original paintings and things like that that we now see, they weren't white. They never been white. The originals are black. So that means, you know how they changed it though? When the Crusades or whatever the case may be, when like Great Britain or the United Kingdom, whatever that time period was, when they were conquering other lands of indigenous people who were already living there. What they were doing is they needed to find a way to unite everybody underneath one banner, right? So that's how they decided to make Christianity the religion of the land, right? Yes. Essentially, yes. For everyone.
Yes.
But what they did, because Christianity, parts of Christianity had already existed, already in Africa,
yes,
right?
Sir.
The Ten Commandments, we can talk about where Moses got the Ten Commandments from. Moses went to Africa for his learning and education. So but that's another topic. Let's but what they saw when they chose Christianity, they didn't see images of themselves. And if you want to unite a band of people who are so different, but you want to be the authority, you cannot allow them to see themselves in the person that they're praying to.
Exactly.
You have to be superior. But how are you going to be superior when the person that they're looking at is just like them?
Mm-hmm.
So this was a conscious decision to change the way St. Pete looked.
Mm-hmm.
St. Yep. Augustine. Yep. It was a conscious decision to change the look. Instead of black, it's white. If you read any Bible, the definition of Jesus is the same. Wool hair. You tell me any white person or Caucasian person that has wool hair, no, I would love to see where they're from.
Right.
I've never met a blue-eyed person with blonde hair that had wool hair, just being honest.
Right. And that's the aspect, you know, that's the psychological part that they injected into us, instilled in us then, that is still affecting us till today. When I say that people are glossing over and pretending to have, it's even in our own community. I have had family members tell me that was so long ago. slavery, you know, no, that's back in the day. Times have changed. Things have changed. Listen to what happened to us, Malcolm. Not only were we stripped and taken from our land, we were stripped of our language. We were stripped of our religion. We were stripped of our culture. We were stripped of our names. And we were taken to foreign soil to start all over again.
Man, listen, my granddad was able to live for 95 years. Slavery ended 156 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
So if my granddad was born 61 years later, he would have been in slavery.
Yeah.
So wow. let's, but fortunately, you know, my background's a little different. We're Haitian. So if he was, you know, born here in America, his father have been either the son of a slave. My granddad's father would have been the son of a slave.
Yes. Yes.
So come on, let's not, this is generations. This is not like,
it's when not they far, say it's not far
it's
removed.
Not that far away. We got to stop doing that. Like, mm-hmm. let's cut it out. Like, this is not something that was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just not something that happened, you know, in BC. You know, this is relevant.
It ended in 1865. My grandmother, who's still with us here today, she was born in 1938.
Hmm.
So her grandparents,
mm-hmm,
very well may have been slaves, if not her grandparents, for certain her great grandparents.
Oh, no questions asked about it. Yeah, my granddad was born in 1926. So when people are so quick to be like, oh, that was so long ago, nah, you got to remember half of everything we've learned about life has been passed down to us.
Yes, sir.
And I look at myself right now. I look at my attitude. I look how I view things sometimes. And I'd be like, yes, and this. And I'd be like, I can't help it sometimes. This is a direct correlation of what my parents taught me.
Yeah.
Now, can I improve on it? Some things I can, but some things are just ingrained in me.
Right.
I can't help it. It's all I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. We talked about it the other day on the phone. There's a reason why, as black men, when we see a white woman, we act different. Oh, we automatically tense up.
Because we know the history. And
know the history.
We can't ignore it. We know the history. We know the story of Emmett Till. We've seen the pictures.
Right.
We know the story, the stories of
I'm not trying just, to have no private conversation with any white woman without witnesses. And that's just, I'm just being real.
Yeah.
You never want to be in that predicament.
You know where it could go.
Exactly.
And you don't want to go down that path. You don't want to get caught up in that, because you know when it's a battle of hearsay,
mm-hmm.
you know that your say means nothing between
mm-hmm. the people. Yep. And check this out, Brody. We're talking about Emmett Till and things that happened back then, but it's still happening today.
Oh yeah, football players, athletes.
But not even football players. Have you not seen what they call them Karens? And there was this one particular time. There's so many videos out there for them to show it, but they know that calling the police means that you can end up dead.
Mm.
The Karen would use that. That's a threat. They still do it to this day. But the trauma is not there.
Exactly. That's even situations where it's like teenagers or young adults having sex, and the family finds out that their daughter, who's Caucasian, is having sex with the African-American, man, teenager, boy, whatever age they are, the same. And the daughter switches up the story and says that he raped me.
Mm.
And he goes to jail. Do you remember that guy that was on Oprah? He did 10 years in jail.
Yep.
Because she told her family, she told her father, she knew her father would be so upset at her for having sex with an African-American man that she said, he raped me. And then she came out 10 years later and said that she lied. And he was released from prison. That wow. That also happened with another athlete who's was in college on the verge of going to the NFL.
I saw that.
Done.
Yep. Just like that.
And, you know, it just, like I said, it's I cannot believe it. It really bothers me the more I think about it. We are not talking about what happened to us.
Right.
We're literally trying to move forward and catch up to communities that have hundreds of years.
We're only 156 years. And I really can't even say that. But what I'm going to say is we're 156 years of not being property.
Malcolm.
We're maybe 60 years of being looked as equals. So that's, they say.
That's the crazy part, my brother, is.
My dad is 70.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy part right there is, see, we're talking about what happened to us when we were enslaved.
Yeah,
we're not even talking about the period of after enslavement until about 1965, the Jim Crow era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go through the back. Mm-hmm. You can't sit here. Malcolm, you know, I always wondered about this when I used to take the bus, and there were times. Now, I know this can be tricky, because growing up in school, sitting in the back of the bus was the cool thing to do.
Cool thing, yeah, for sure.
Right. So a lot of people can just try to gloss over and look at it as that, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, there was a period of time when we can only sit in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
So when I would get on the bus, I'm not making this up, it would literally come to my mind to choose a seat near the front.
Mm.
I don't know how many other people think about that when they get on the bus. I don't know how many other people from different communities think of that when they get on the bus. It may be a thought or it may not be a thought. I can only speak for myself. That's my real life experience.
Right.
I wanted to make sure I did not sit in the back. And if there was no seats, I would just stand and hold the pole in the front or in the middle. I would not go to the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that leads me to I just want to ask you, Malcolm, why do we compare ourselves to other communities? Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's because we got to go back. Like when we hear crabs in the barrel, right? It's it's that thing where I understand your frustration when you hear that. Because when people say that, they're just throwing that out there. They're not understanding the trauma, the 10 minutes that we went through, all the trauma that's we've had to deal with, right? They're not understanding that when they say that. So, but that trauma also is the reason why we're compared, right? They've always done this, right? When they talk about minorities, who's the favorite minority? It's Asians. Well, the Asians have been here. They had a hard time. Why are y'all not doing this? You get what I'm saying? So yeah. It's always been compare us to everybody else, compare us to this person, to this race, to this race, to this race. Oh, they're minorities. Oh, they're not the majority. You know what I mean? So, but what they're not telling you is, yeah, the Asians ain't go through what we went through. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to discredit anything that they might've went through, because they got their own trauma since they've been here, but it ain't the same. And I'm just going to say it like that. And I don't care how nobody feel about it.
No, that's the truth.
In this country, nobody has been treated the way we've been treated. I don't want to get no arguments about it. That's just what it is. But in our mind, it's like, yeah, white people don't do that. Jewish people don't do that. Mexicans don't do that. They even got us battling our own other minorities.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but it's just programmed. But the sad thing with us is, and we've talked about this for the longest, is we get so caught up in trying to figure out how you know other races do, that we have to understand that we don't even know what they do or don't do.
Exactly.
I've never been privy to those conversations. I don't know what white culture is. I didn't grow up in it. I never been around it long enough to know, like, if that's truly what it is. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I don't know what they do on their day-to-day basis. I've never been in a white household. I've never had that privilege. You know, that's why it was a little interesting to watch Colin Kaepernick's docuseries that he had on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he had a chance to be a part of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could see how they thought. Even in that series, you could see how they thought about the world. Those microaggressions that they had against them. Thugs wear braids.
Mm.
In our culture, braids are popular. We love braids.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah. Stating way back from our origins in Africa.
Exactly. So can you imagine how that makes you feel? Dang, my natural hairstyle. People think I'm a thug because of that?
Yeah. Same thing with dreadlocks.
Same thing with dreadlocks. Same thing with afros. Same thing with natural hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's wrong for any, you know, for us to want to have straight hair or do any of those things, but it shouldn't be wrong for us to indulge in our natural who we are, naturally who we are.
Yeah. And that's what is intimidating to them, which is why it's a problem.
Mm.
The afro, the braids,
mm-hmm.
the dreadlocks. And because they cannot experience that, they cannot. Mm-hmm. You don't have the texture here to get braided. It will fall out.
Yep.
You don't have the texture here to get dreadlocks. I know some people have tried. It's just not the same. Doesn't look. So because they can't relate to it, it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And ugly. So much
it's
so.
Unprofessional.
Yeah. Yes. Some job sure places. Like exactly.
The athletes who had to cut their hair off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you still hear stories today. Preschoolers or young kids going to school and the teacher cut their hair.
Yeah.
Yep. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. It boils down to this for me, man. You know, we are only going to get so far. And it's going to be like hitting a brick wall, because the only way to keep going any further is by having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about what happened to us amongst ourselves. And then we can figure out how we want to proceed moving forward with other communities around us. But it starts within. You know, like you say, you kicked it off with the colorism, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that stems from Field and House, right? Yeah. So there's so many layers to this that for some people, it is hard to see someone that looks like them and not even love them, but appreciate them because when we look in the mirror, for some of us, we don't love what we see. We don't love who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with the individual. The moment you love what you see in the mirror, your nose, the width of your big, beautiful nose, when you love the texture of your curly hair, when you love your lips, your full lips that many people are getting injections for today. When you love your melanin that many people get in a tanning booth for. Listen, when you love what you see, then you love to see other people that look like you. So we got work to do, but we done been through some things. And that's really all I wanted to say is, hey, not even to the outside world, just to ourselves. Hey, we've been through some things that anyone who doesn't have the texture of our hair, the color of our skin, the width of our nose, anyone who doesn't have those things don't know nothing about what we've been through.
Right.
They can never relate. So we don't need to try to impress anyone or emulate anyone. We have to start within and love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And from there, I believe, is when we can stand on each other's back and pull us out of the barrel. Because when we were brought here, we were thrown to the bottom of a barrel. We were, whether people want to admit it or not. And are we still in that barrel? Yes, we are. And have a few people made it out? Yes, a few. A few have made it out, opposed to the millions of us who have not. So we got some work to do.
Let me ask you, Brody, on that note, I asked Rashida the same question when I was telling her this was a topic that we were going to be discussing. I asked her, do you think that some people, and I should say African-Americans, do you think it's the majority that have the crab in the barrel mentality, or is it just a minority?
If I had to choose, I would say majority, and here's why. I want to follow up.
Man, she said the same thing.
I would say majority because of the scarcity that we have endured and dealt with, poverty, being impoverished. I feel like more of us have experienced that than the opposite. Now, like we spoke about the other day, hey, everybody wasn't poor. It's a reason why they tore down the Black Wall Street.
Right.
Everybody wasn't poor. But I do feel like there may, and I wasn't there, but there may have been more of us not in a great position than ones who were well off. But I can say this, though. I can say this. Even in the urban areas, right, in the urban city areas with the projects or the communities, whatever it may be, you know, people in those conditions, right, of the welfare and the Section 8 and so many, I mean, they say they're helping you, but they're not helping you. They're keeping you underneath their thumb. That's what they're doing. Because the moment you make a certain amount of money, they start to take away their benefits. You get what I'm saying? So I just feel like, no, we're not all poor. No, we don't got it all bad. But I feel like majority of us have experienced that. Now, I didn't grow up in the projects. I didn't.
There we go.
You know, so, and you didn't either. We grew up
right
next door to each other.
And that's what Rashida said, when, because she had the exact same, because she had almost the same answer as you. She said, because I was asking, I was like, she said, like, I asked her the same question. I was like, do you think it's the majority or do you think it's just a minority of us who have that mentality? She said, I think it's a lot. And I was like, nah, don't say a lot. I need something, you know, is it majority or not? Is it, give me a percentage, something. And she was like, I think it's the majority. And now she was like, I was like 85% majority. She was like, yeah. And I'm like, for me, that was so hard to really relate to. And she really started to break down, like, I guess my history and where I'm from makes me think differently, right? Because we're from the suburbs. And what's very unordinary about where the suburbs we're from Clayton County, right? Mm-hmm. Clayton County is 86% black county. It is probably one of the only counties that you can find that is majority black anywhere in the United States.
Wow.
That's where we're from. So when you look to your left, you look to your right, it was another black person in homes. Mm-hmm. When you went to the stores, you had black people working, you had black managers, you had black bank tellers, you had black doctors, you had black lawyers. This was normal. Now that I moved one county over, it's still a heavy black presence. The income is a little bit higher. I look at my community. I live in a very nice community, mm-hmm. But my neighbors are all black. We all have nice homes. They drive nice cars. She was like, but you have, she was like, you have to understand too, you come from a different place. You mm-hmm. come from, you know, yeah, culturally, you're a little different mm-hmm. because I am Haitian. So I had to understand that too. But then she was also like, but Atlanta's a little different. And I was like, you're telling me Atlanta's the anomaly.
Oh, it is.
And I think, we talked about that too in the past. And I was like, because you said that. That's the reason why I asked her that. And she said, yeah, it is. Because she's from Miami. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of time in Miami, spent a lot of time in Gainesville, Florida. Mm-hmm. She was like, in those cities, nah, mm-hmm. it's not like that.
Right.
And for me, that's hard for me to believe because I'm born in Brooklyn, New York, but I left when I was three.
Yeah.
So my life experience is here. And so for me, that's always a difficult thing. I feel like that is. For me, I think crabs in the barrel is a minority. But she was like, no, it's not. You just haven't lived anywhere else. We've been fortunate where we grew up and where we currently live. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, for me, I was like, dang, I can't believe that this is really what it is. But, you know, when you hear stories and people really talk to you, it's like, yeah, you know, that's true. Like every, it's not that they don't want to help.
Yeah.
But they don't want what they've been given to be taken away.
And that's what it is, Malcolm. That's what it is. Because the crabs in the barrel isn't just about being in the barrel part. Mm-hmm. It's the part for the people who do make it out the barrel. Are they reaching back?
Right. Well, what happens when another crab gets to the rim of the barrel?
Well, do we help them? Down.
There we go.
They pull them down.
The way it is set up, that's the best choice for you to make as an individual.
Mm.
Because it's what about my family? If you come up here, you could potentially take food out of my family's mouth. And when you, I don't care what race you are, where you come from, if that is the option you are left with, I'm gonna kick you in your face to make sure that you fall back down in that barrel.
You know, Malcolm, if you want
more important than my family.
That's true. That's true. You know what? If you want to take it a step further, everybody isn't ready to leave the barrel just yet.
That's a whole different side to it.
Yeah. You know, it's this quote that I read, and I will never forget it. I'm going to paraphrase this quote. Everybody didn't want to leave the plantation.
I heard that.
Some people wanted to stay. Why? not because the food was good, not because they didn't get whipped as much as other people on other plantations. You want to know why? It's because for a lot of people, and it doesn't matter what you look like, this is a human thing. A lot of people would rather stay where they are because they don't know what's going to happen next. A lot of people, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your hair look like. I don't care what your nose look like. A lot of people are afraid of the unknown. So they'd rather stay put. They'd rather get whipped. They'd rather continue being a slave than run away and take a chance. So when we talk about crabs in a barrel, yes, there's many layers to this because there's many layers to us and many of layers to our story. But there are some people that aren't ready to come out of the barrel, clearly, because that's why they are clawing to pull you back down. Now, if we want to speak in layman's terms, that's when people say, oh, you talking white. That's when people say, oh, you get in Hollywood because you don't eat certain things anymore. You don't want to do certain things anymore. Or you too good for us, or you too good for this. Instead of understanding that, no, you and I are better than this or that. So for some people, it will take longer. And for some people are ready to get out, but they are getting pulled back down. And, you know, there's a pressure to it. You know, you can't deny it. There's a pressure between leaving everything you knew and going someplace else, going someplace new. It's a leap. You do have to take a leap of faith, for sure.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
My brother, this is a beautiful, beautiful episode, man. Do you have any last words for us, man?
Man. I mean, I think you said it all. I mean, it was a beautiful episode. You know, these are the conversations that we have to have with each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think when we talk about these things, we're talking it on platforms where everybody is listening, right? Yeah. So it sounds more like we're airing out dirty laundry, right? It comes off as us not caring about each other. We're talking like, oh, I've made it to this level now. You guys are beneath me because I've overcome the crabs in the barrel mentality. You know what I mean? So the only advice I'd give to anybody, especially when you've made it to a level like Kevin Hart or any other status like that, no matter what industry you're in, is understand that you had to go on a journey to get to where you're at right now, right? And the best thing that you can do is, yes, you want to hold us accountable, because at the end of the day, we're all individuals. We need to be held accountable for what we do, how we act, how we behave, and all those things. But you also need to understand that it's not as simple as just the crabs in the barrel. There's a whole lot more that goes into it. It's not that simple. And they all know it because they had to overcome it. You were one of the crabs in the barrel with us.
Yes, sir.
So position yourself. Like you said, if you're going to use the phrase, help somebody understand how we get out of the barrel.
Yes, sir.
Don't just use it as a way to talk bad about us, because number one, if you're talking about bad about us, you're talking about bad about yourself.
Speak on it.
You are us. There's no escaping it. I don't care where you go, what community you live in, as long as you got that skin complexion or that melatonin in you, you will always be one of us. So remember that. It's no different from when my parents used to tell me, when you walk out of this house, remember what your last name is. Because when you do something, it affects all of us.
Wow.
That's it, Brody.
Wow. You're right. That's it. Because that's true, man. That's true. Everything you said is 100% fact. And I just wanted to add, you know, guys, I ain't looking for pity. If you know me, you know, Nah. And I don't throw pity parties. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I truly believe that would truly help us is by acknowledging and talking about what we have been through. We've been through so much, Malcolm, that we don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can go so much farther when we do start to have these conversations and just peel back the onion, because it's very layered. It's very layered. It's a reason why we do everything we do. It's a reason why we eat the things we do.
Yep.
There's a reason behind everything. And a lot of it we don't know, because our origin was stripped from us. So all I'm saying is, let's have grace for ourselves while continue to push ourselves and strive to be better and do better and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody is better than you. We got to get out of that mentality. There's no community that's better than you.
Yeah.
There's no skin color that's better than you. There's no texture of hair that's better than yours.
Yep.
And I think that's where it begins. The moment you love what you see in the mirror is when you will love everything that looks just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, my brother, I want to thank you for joining me today. Oh, there's so much more to say. We're gonna have to run this one back, man. But Malcolm, this so and that's why it weighs so much on me, because there literally is so much for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure, most definitely. Like we, in all honesty, all we did was just scratch the surface.
Oh yeah,
there oh, yeah. We could talk another 4 hours about, you know, all this. But that's how complex it is, right? And that's what we need to understand. Like, this is not something, especially when you're speaking on African Americans, right? That's one thing. But we can even take that a step further when we're just talking about people of the African diaspora.
Yes.
Right? That's a completely different thing, right? That's just way bigger. We're just really just talking about African Americans.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's when you start researching our history, you start realizing that, man, there's so much more to us that we didn't even know. Right. So much to us that we didn't even know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's for a reason.
Right. Right.
That's for a reason. If we knew, because we're learning today, man, at 30 plus years old, we're learning today things about our history that makes us so proud. Earlier, you spoke on it. Moses got the Ten Commandments decoration that already existed in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so even just that aspect, for many people who are religious, that gives you a sense of pride to know that. To know that.
Yeah. For
it's,
sure.
There's so many little things out there. Even St. Augustine. Come on, man. St. Yep. Augustine.
There's a whole city, because that was the first city here in America. That is the oldest city here in the United States. St. Augustine. Pull up a picture of St. Augustine right now. You see a white image. The original pictures was not of him being white. He was black.
Exactly. So just imagine if that was taught to us in school. Hey, guys, the oldest city in America, St. Augustine, is named after a guy that looks just like you.
Mm.
That makes you feel good inside.
There's a reason why people don't want to have critical race theories in school. And that is the sole reason. Not because you're gonna feel bad about slavery and who you are as a white person. No, because they don't want to uncover the truth.
Yeah. They don't want to talk about it. And that's why we need to. It's time we talk about it.
Yep. We're not going to forget about slavery. It's never going to be time to forget about it.
No, we are
never going to be too long ago. I'm sorry. 156 years ago is not too long ago.
No, it's not.
And that's just slavery. We're not even talking about anything after that.
Man.
I wish somebody would tell me to get over it.
Tell me about it, right?
I've never had that experience of somebody come to my face and tell me, get over slavery. I wish you would. For real, I've never experienced that. And I'm in my mind, I know what I'm going to do to somebody who tells me, get over slavery. Okay. Yeah. So you want to go there. Let's do it, buddy.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like that. My brother, once again, thank you so much for joining me today, man. And there's more to talk about. So we'll be back. We will be back.
Sure. Most definitely.
With that being said, let's jump into our next segment. Have a treat.
As you know, each and every episode, I recommend something for you to read. I recommend something for you to watch. I recommend something for you to do because you deserve to treat yourself. You absolutely do. So, hey, grab a fork. It's time for a treat. What I recommend that you watch is Kevin Hart's interview on The Breakfast Club. He has been on it numerous times, but this interview by far is one of his best because you can see his growth, his evolution, his progress, and just the change in his ways. And wow, he has come a long way. And he has a lot of big plans. So you guys check it out. Kevin Hart on The Breakfast Club. All right, now for something to read. What I recommend that you read is Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery by Dr. Naeem Akbar. Once again, I'm recommending that you read Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery by Dr. Naeem Akbar. Guys, this book looks amazing. I actually just ordered a copy. It is on the way. I want you to dive into it. If you enjoy this conversation and you want to hear more about it, learn more about it, and get to the root of it all, oh, this book is the book that you want on your bookshelf. All right. Now for something to do, what I recommend that you do is have the conversation. Have the conversation with your family, with your friends. It is time that we talk about it. It's time that we finally address the crab in the room. Thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. Before you leave, I want to leave you with this quote. The bird born in a cage thinks flying is an illness. Thank you.